Our first speaker is Larry Oldham from Mississippi State University, and is as the title says on the screen. I'm looking at, you know, whether the title is the same as what my paper is saying here. I'll just go ahead and read that. The lessons of 63 years of extension service soil testing in Mississippi. Larry?
Please have mercy on her. She has seen a much longer version of this at the Southern Soil Testing Group meeting in there some time ago in Starkville. The reason why we had this discussion there and why we're talking about it today is in these challenging economic times in university administration, people tasked with budget management are always looking for places to be more economical, I guess is a diplomatic way of saying it. And one thing that is flagged is that there is a public investment in soil testing in Mississippi in that we do not necessarily cash flow with our situation. I know other public soil testing laboratories do. This was a topic of conversation a couple of years ago, and this was the impetus for putting this information together to see where we wanted to be on this road of examining public investment in extension soil testing. I will also say at this point, on behalf of the Southern Soil Testing Group, SARA IEG6, Soil Testing Plant Analysis, Long Tile, a white paper was developed under leadership of Dave Kessel, Dr. Sonone's boss at Georgia, that enumerates the roles that extension and public service soil testing laboratories have in modern society. And it is much more than simply processing samples and giving recommendations. However, we're going to cover that today. I do encourage you, if you're not familiar with that white paper, go to the SARA 6 website and look at it. It's been used as material with several state laboratories, by several state laboratories, in discussion with their administrations, with their stakeholders, on examining the future role of public soil testing. I know some universities have opted out of this arena in the past, but in the southern region, we have a pretty dedicated group at keeping this public world going, including in Mississippi. I'll give the end of the story. We're continuing to operate our public soil testing lab in Mississippi. And one thing that's ironic to me is that we have this service that we offer. And, of course, most of us in here are probably more in tune with the agronomic use of soil testing. And we're having to deal with folks wanting to shut us down, whereas we got probably the most public endorsements now for the use of soil testing we've ever had through, in this case, MarthaStewart.com, where she tells you to go to your extension office to get a soil test. You can go to HGTV, any other of these mass medias, and they tout our services, so it probably behooves us to have this service available if we're getting this massive public relations push from probably tangential stakeholders for those of us involved in agronomic soil testing. In the history of Mississippi, I say 63 years or years that we've gone in. Post-World War II, there was a mass explosion of soil testing as the greatest generation came back from the war. We had a lot of things coming together at that time. The nitrogen fertilizer becoming commercially available after being developed for wartime use, so forth and so on. There had been beginnings of soil testing in Mississippi prior to this date of July 1, 1948. This gentleman, Ivan Miles, I thought he came from Clemson. I saw his name associated with North Carolina State the other day in this same era. And he left Mississippi State about two or three years after that, went to University of Arkansas, I believe. But he must have been the Pied Piper of soil testing across the South. But that's when we began our real live, widely available service in the state. Prior to that, it was performed in some county. We had the service offered at some experiment station. Truck Crops is the Jackson urban area experiment station, deals primarily with horticulture crops. They had a little small lab there. And we don't have the yearly results except for the first 2 years available to us. 25-year synopsis prepared show that we did a little over 600,000 samples. We've now done over 2.25 million samples in our state lab. This may not be much for some of the commercial laboratories, but it's been a good steady progression over the years, and we're actually pretty constant right now. So the number of samples done per year, getting 73 to almost current. The two arrows, where is the arrow? There's the pointer. These two arrows signify when we started the first one. This is the big step, when we went from a zero cost to the user to charging a massive $3 a sample. As you can see, it happened in the late 80s, or late 70s. We were up at 140,000 samples. Now, this drop-off after we instituted the charge is not completely due to the fact that we started charting, but there was an effort at that time to seed some private laboratories at that time, and so we started deliberately losing business by helping those folks go into business. The second arrow is when we went from $3 to $6, which is what we still charge per sample now. This was about 1999 when the administration's really getting dollar conscious on us. So that's where we are today. You see, we're steady at between about 20 to 22,000 samples per year in our small lab. Now, this is just some, so that there are statistics involved, and I won't get into it. This is using business forecasting methods to use the past to predict the future. The two things that we have to work with as variables are the number of recommendations. Our summaries, as the most of the state labs, if you're familiar with them, they do not have the actual number of analysis performed. Usually they have the number of recommendations given. There can be up to 3 recommendations per sample offered. But the recommendation is what the user is, the crop the user is signify they want to use. And starting with agronomy numbers, we were looking at those number of recommendations. We're also looking at the percentage of number of recommendations to give an idea of the crop mix that was desired by the end user. We'll kind of get into the statistics a whole lot, but this is a lot of business statistics. And as a trained soil scientist and agronomist, there's a steep learning curve for me. But thankfully, most of this is available in SAS packages. And what was amazing to me, I'd never heard of a damp trend exponential smoothing equation before, but we did come out with pretty neat ones on this, as we show the picture. But to get going, our percentage of recommendations we offer for cotton. Mississippi is a southern state. We are known for cotton. Our cotton acreage has fluctuated in recent years, from a few hundred thousand acres to 1.4 million acres. The number, the percentage of the recommendations we have given over the last few decades has declined linearly, and there's two reasons for that. One reason is that we do have fewer cotton acres, but also this is where there is intense competition with the private sector. So a lot of the cotton growers buy complete consultant packages or work with their retailer and use a number of different labs. So we're not getting a significant number of sample, as a percentage of our business, anymore from the cotton industry. However, that's subject to change always with markets and what have you, and changes in the soil testing lab market in Mississippi in recent days. Feed grains. Looking at the historical data, about 1980, feed grains, of course, is primarily corn. We had about 10,000 acres of corn in 1980. It was basically a garden crop. But with changes in production, changes in markets, we have seen an increase in corn acreage. We have several hundred thousand acres now. It's grown into be a steady part of the business. Soybeans. Now, back when we had lots of samples, back in the boom day of the soybeans in the early to mid-70s, they were a significant part of our business, almost half of it. That's declining over time. What is significant to me is that we are still doing about 10% of our business in soybeans. The adage, the old wives' tale, is that soybean farmers do not soil test. They do not follow soybean test recommendations. We have about 2 million acres of soybeans per year, and they account steadily so far in the historical data for about 10% of our business. pasture and hay has been our growth industry. Again, historically, what common knowledge is, for what that's worth, is the pasture and hay has not been a traditional heavy user of soil testing services in our state. And we were about 10% for many years. As we've gotten into the modern era in the last 15 years or so, there has been a significant push by our partners in the Natural Resource Conservation Service in the state to utilize soil test-based results for them to assist in their cost share for lime and fertilizer programs for increasing pasture fertility. Now, you take all this in the world of business statistics and develop projections, and what we see is that 10-year projections for agronomic crops are steady, that corn, cotton, feed, grain, soybeans be steady. Our growth, what little as it should be based upon the past performance, is going to be in pasture hay. I have the caveat there in the use of time series analysis that you prefer the most many data points as you can from the past to predict the future. And we're at the break-even point in the number of years that we have available for statistical projections on this in 30-something years. So to summarize the agronomy market, soybean, I did not show the rice recommendations. They are stable. We have a lot of private competition in the rice soil tested market and project to do so. We think that the feed grains have remained stable. The cotton market, given historical trends, is disappearing for us. We had a significant decline, although it reversed due to market conditions in the last year. And we have had probably a small increase in our cotton samples in the last year or so. Pasture and hay, our growth market, because it's been required for government programs. There was a cost share program, and also, I did not mention it, but a significant part of that is a part of comprehensive nutrient management plan preparation backgrounding for our poultry operations. We have about 1,800 commercial grower operations in the state that are required to have a soil test-based nutrient management plan. I said required. I didn't say they have it yet. Required. Horticultural crops. Run through these pretty quickly. Horticultural crops are going to be our commercial crops such as were produced around the location of a truck crops experiment station that was a large commercial tomato production area one time. And that's pretty steady. Actually, you can say it's almost noise. Horticultural crops, just steady. Lawns and turf. And I think this is where we start to see the influence of the Martha Stewarts, the HGTVs, and other folks promoting our business for us. We're starting to see a little increase in lawns and turf. Should mention, we also have a very capable lawn and turf extension program in Mississippi State, preaching the gospel of soil testing every chance they get. Vegetable gardens. One thing is sure, get the summary slide. We have about 400 vegetable garden samples per year. Most of them come from the Delta. Some years, most of them come from the Jackson metropolitan area. Some years, they come from the coast. But no matter where the mix is, where they come from, we're going to have about 400 vegetable garden samples per year. Fires and shrubbery, again, we're seeing the effect that our friends in the commercial media are helping sell our product. As part of this, you know, we have a large outreach with our horticultural group, garden and patio shows. Our soil testing lab manager participates in those, does simple pH tests at the farm garden shows, things like that. So we have some outreach going with that. So to summarize the horticulture market, it's a straight line. We get about 400 vegetable samples per year. We have those growth opportunities. We do have an increased emphasis in Mississippi on horticultural crops. We have had some wheat corn production begin in the Delta region. It's amazing that 1,400 acres of sweet corn will provide enough sweet corn to keep one distribution center for Walmart stock for 2 days, if they're lucky. So that's a lot of sweet corn. We're doing more and more commercial vegetable production and we have an increased awareness of extension soil testing in the home-based markets due to our friends in the commercial world selling our goods for us. So that's our annual samples over to the right. here, this is project, we're just stating. And how does it project into the future? Unfortunately, that shows us declining to about 16,000 samples per year based upon our past performance. However, we've not gone off that bad. We're actually got a small slight increase this year that's not included in the actual data. So we're continuing onward and upward. And I gave the conclusion first. We're maintaining our commercial laboratory, our cell testing laboratory, as a counterpart to the commercial laboratories, and we have other things that we offer besides the pure function of soil testing. I think I heard on a very conservative commentator on Mississippi radio said several years ago, said, you know why the university wants these soil tests, don't you? He said, they might be able to teach you something. So that's our educational role that we provide that helps maintain our public presence. So overall, NRCS has been our soil testing friend so far in the pasture and hay market. Corn and cotton mix affects our sample flow. We're working with the consultants and retailers on that. Soybeans, although it's only about 10% of the acres, that's more than some people would have probably said. And I think as we get our consultants in line on this, we'll start seeing even more use of soil testing in the soybean market. And potentially exists for continued growth. With that, if I have time for questions, I will try to answer.
I think we will defer the questioning because we really like to be.
All right. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you so much.